the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Morning, everybody. Wonderful to see you all in church. Church looks great from up here. It really does. It's absolutely fantastic to see everybody gathered around the tables. You're so welcome to be with us today. My name is Paul. I'm one of the leaders here at Belmont. And if you've got the Bibles on your table and you weren't sure where to find Daniel, here are the page numbers. In the Green Bible, it's page 838. And in the International Children's Bible that Jack was reading from, it's page 1010. So that's what we're going to be looking at this morning, Daniel chapter 1. Now, we had that helpful video at the beginning, which kind of set the scene for us about where we are. But let me just give you a date. We are 605 BC. So we've had the Olympic Games recently, haven't we? I think they're still going on today, actually. But this is back when the original Olympics were happening. So we're 2,500 years ago. And in the big Bible story, we are getting towards the end of the Old Testament. We're in that period when God's people have been taken into exile because they have just not honored God and obeyed God throughout their history. So that's what's happened to them. And they've gone on an exile journey from Jerusalem all the way to Babylon, which is in modern-day Iraq. So modern-day Israel to modern-day Iraq. It's about 1,400 kilometers, and it would take several weeks to travel that amount of time. And if you'd forgotten your toothbrush, there was no going back for it because it was a very, very long way. And in fact, Daniel, when he went, was a young man. He probably would have just been a late teenager, a bit like some of our teenagers when they go away to college or to university. He was to have 3 years of training for his new job. But the difference was he was never, ever going to come back to his home again. He was going to spend the rest of his long life in Babylon. So, what I'd like you to have a think about on your tables or around the room, wherever you're seated, is what has Daniel lost? Now, you won't actually find the answers necessarily in the Bible story that you've got open before you. You might just have to use your imagination and think, if I was in Daniel's shoes, what would I feel like I'd lost? And I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Well, I've said 30 seconds. I might be generous and give you a bit more. But you're going to have to get right into it, okay? So introduce yourselves if you haven't done that yet. And then just quickly share some ideas about what Daniel has lost. Off you go. I'm going to give you 10 more seconds. Okay. Lovely to hear the buzz of conversation as you were thinking about what Daniel has lost. Here are some of the things I imagined that he probably felt he'd lost. Perhaps you had some of these. His freedom. He was being taken captive to another country. His home, his family, the future plans that he maybe had in his mind and that would never be realized in his homeland. His name. Did you notice that Daniel's name was changed in the story? What was it changed to? Belteshazzar, that's right. So often our name reflects our identity in some way, and that's taken away from him. The promised land that had been given to God's people as a gift, and the temple in Jerusalem where God's presence had been manifested. That and many other things Daniel had lost, and his friends had lost as well. Okay, what was Daniel's new job? I'm not going to ask you to talk at tables. I just want somebody to shout it out to me. What was his new job? Sorry? To serve the king. Well done. I don't know who said it, but you're spot on. That was exactly what he had to do, wasn't it? To serve the king, we're told in verse 5. But here's something I would like you to have a quick chat about in your groups, and I mean quick. Who is the king? A little clue for you. I'm looking for two answers here. I'm looking for two answers. 15 seconds, off you go. Okay, that's 15 seconds. I know it's not very long, but can somebody tell me one of the kings that you think he was serving? God. Yes. God, absolutely. God is the great king. He was serving Nebuchadnezzar for sure. He was in Nebuchadnezzar's court. Nebuchadnezzar had him trained up, but his ultimate king was God, the king of heaven and earth, the Lord of all things. So Daniel is serving two kings, but ultimately he's serving the great king, the Lord of heaven and earth. And I think there are two really important verses in this whole chapter. Well, the whole chapter is important, but two things really struck me this morning. And the first verse was this one from, I think it's chapter 8. It's Daniel's decision. Do you remember that verse? We're told that Daniel resolved, which means he made a really firm decision, not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. The royal food and wine has been kidnapped, but we had the royal food and wine here. And the actual royal food and wine, the reason that Daniel didn't want to eat it with his friends is because almost certainly it would have been offered to idols as part of their worship. And he didn't want to have any part with that. So he says, no, I'm going to stick with the vegetables and the water. That was his decision. And then the second verse is the one that shows us God's provision. Obviously, the provision in keeping Daniel and his friends so really healthy, but also this verse. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. He's going to be a great employee for the king of Babylon with this amazing learning that God has given him. And he's going to be, as we'll see in future weeks, somebody who really helps the king of Babylon with his ability that God gives him to understand visions. Daniel has choices, doesn't he? And we all have choices in our day-to-day lives. Do we blend in so that we are just kind of hiding and nobody's going to see us? Or are we going to stand up like Daniel did for the truth that he knew was God's way? Are we going to go for the rich food? And you really can get burgers that are gold-leafed. I mean, utterly ridiculous. Are we going to go for the idol-related stuff? Or are we going to go for God's healthy, good provision in our lives? Those are the questions for us this morning. And here's another question for you. How might you this week, how might I this week, if we're followers of Jesus, how might we stand up in a similar way to Daniel? Thinking about what's happened this week, I could think of two ways that we could stand up. The first, given that's all that's gone on over the past week or so, is to show the love of God and the welcome of God to all people. That's a way that we can stand up and show that we are God's people. And a second way that we can stand up, I've loved this about the Olympics. Have you noticed how many athletes have given glory to God for their success? Or sometimes just said, God's going to help me even though I haven't been successful. And Spendalini-Siriex, after she won her bronze medal in the diving, was very quick to give God the glory and to say how much her faith meant to her, very publicly. Perhaps this week we can share our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in a similar way. Right, Karis, you've sung for us beautifully this morning. We're now going to interview you. We're going to work Karis very hard today. We thought we'd interview Karis. Thank you. Would you prefer the lectern or a hand mic? You have that. We thought we'd interview Karis because, as I said earlier, Daniel's a bit like a university student who goes away, but he never comes back. That would be a bit scary for Karis's mum and dad. But Karis is a university student who's gone away and has come back. So, Karis, got three questions for you. And here's the first one. Could you tell us, please, a little bit about the new place that God has put you in?
Yeah. So, this time last year, I was waiting for my A-level results, as some people in here will be, very anxiously hoping that I would get into the university that I thought was right and that I prayed about and that I felt God was placing me. I was really worried I wasn't going to get the grades and didn't quite get what I wanted, but God still placed me in the right place. And I've just finished my first year at Marjohn University in Plymouth.
In Plymouth, deepest, darkest Plymouth. And she's come back to tell the tale.
I'm sorry.
Amazing. Wonderful. Okay, Karis, what pressures have you experienced that have made it hard to follow Jesus in this new place?
Yeah, so it's my first time ever moving house.
Wow.
I've only ever lived in one place, in Exeter, so that was a big pressure in and of itself, consulting the notes. And I've always come to Belmont since I was literally a baby, so it was my first time being away from here for a very long time, and that was a big pressure for me, not necessarily seeing the faces of people who are my support system every week. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was also living with 8 other girls in a flat, which, as you can imagine, had its own challenges, and they didn't always get on, so that was quite tricky.
I'm sure. Did they do the washing up?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. That's my experience of shared houses. They don't do the washing up. Anyway, I'm always brilliant at washing up, obviously. Final question. How has God helped or provided for you to stand up and live differently in this new place, Karis? Yeah.
So firstly, a lot of peace during the transition. That was really tricky for me. I don't really like change, so provided a lot of peace on the moving in day and the days that followed. I listened to a lot of worship music when I felt like I was too anxious to even pick up my Bible, and that was really helpful. Secondly, provided me with a church. So my second day in Plymouth, I was like, screw it, I'm going to go try and find a church. And the first one I walked into happened to be the right one and fit for me, and that was really helpful because I was nervous that I wouldn't find one, so I really felt God providing me with that. Thirdly, I met a lot of lovely Christian students, which have been really helpful in growing some like fruitful friendships that support me. And finally, a lot of people have been praying, and as much as it's from afar, you definitely feel the support, whether that the things that you've asked for prayer for happen or not. It's nice to have the strength behind you of Christians here and also at uni.
Wonderful. Thank you very much indeed, Karis. Can I just pray? Let me just pray, not just for Karis, but for anybody who is facing a season of change at the moment. So let me do that. Can I just put my hand on your shoulder? Thank you. Father God, I want to thank you so much for Karis's testimony that even though she faced something new and difficult and challenging, you were absolutely there for her. Thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness in providing her with a church family and with friends to support and encourage her. And thank you for those who've been praying for her and for lots of people like her who are adapting to new situations. Lord, I pray for those in our congregation this morning who are going to be going through seasons of change over the weeks and the months ahead. Perhaps a new school, a new class, a new town, a new job, a new season of life. Will you please show yourself to be faithful to them in your gracious provision? And bless us all as we commit our ways to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Karis. And now we're going to think about God's provision in terms of communion. So, Sarah, I'm going to ask you to come and lead us in that.